gentlemen, for joining us at tonight's Comic Book Club. Here are your hosts, Pete LePage, Justin Tyler, and Alex Dalvin.
What's up, everybody? Yeah. Welcome to Comic Book Club, the only live weekly talk show about comic books. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's our man in the booth, Booth Man.
Our resident supervillain.
Yep. Yes. Fan favorite.
Pete, you got a haircut.
Yeah.
What happened? Did you join the military?
No.
Sweet. Cool.
Yeah. You made a lot of promises of backing up on all your Punisher fanship. Like going out there and fighting crime, shooting.
I don't shatter my dreams. All right.
Oh, you say your dreams? You're waiting for the future?
I'm thinking maybe if I get a haircut.
I'm really glad you guys convinced me to come out here and talk about Pete's haircut.
We convinced you?
This is a killer bit,
yeah,
guys.
Alex had this thing with marshmallows, and we were like, no, haircuts.
But they ate all of them.
Yeah. We were hungry. It's energy food.
Well, we have a very exciting show today. More exciting than the opening banter, I'll tell you. I'm very excited about our guest tonight, ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Conroy!
I am Batman!
Keep going! 50 more minutes! 50 more minutes!
What was that all about?
What? 50 more minutes?
No, I mean, what was the voice?
Oh, that was when people enjoy something, they clap at me. That's why it's a new thing, really.
That's the first time it's ever happened.
Yeah,
in the show.
I know. That's why I feel like you look so panicked. Is there a riot?
Now we got another hour to fill.
Thanks so much for coming on the show.
This is fun.
We're very excited to have you here. So let's talk. How did you end up being the voice of Batman?
I had never done, and look, I am not, I'm very ignorant about animation, I should be honest with you. I wasn't raised on comic books and stuff. I went through Juilliard. I'm a classically trained actor. I did a lot of Broadway, a lot of Shakespeare, and I was in L.A., doing a series. I did a series called Tour of Duty. It was the first Vietnam show. Yeah. And I was Captain Wallace. And I was in L.A. doing that. And my agent said, you know, they're doing an animated series at Warner Brothers. Do you want to go up for the voice of Batman? And I said, you mean like the 60s, you know, 70s Zap Zam Pop Batman?
No,
this is totally different. So I went in and I explained to them I didn't know anything about it. They said, well, look, it's not that show. It's The Dark Knight. It's based on a much more gothic story. His parents were killed when he was a child. He lives in the caves. He lives with bats. He's avenging their death. I said, it's Hamlet. You're telling the story. And they said, well, no one's ever said that before. So I said, well, let me just do a take on it. So I just went in the booth and I started. I just came up with this very husky, dark sounding, dramatic voice. And they said, oh, that's really cool. Let's do more of that. So then I did an alter ego of Bruce Wayne that was a very kind of urbane and sophisticated kind of guy. So in the first couple of years, they let me really play with that, of doing those two different personalities. And then they decided that the show should go in a much darker direction. So they took that Bruce Wayne voice down a notch and made him darker too. So I kind of stumbled into it. I wasn't a voice person. I wasn't an animation person. I was a stage actor.
But you were always Batman.
Stumbled into it. That's what they said.
You found
your role. You've been training for this for years. So it all kind of just stumbled together. It was a happy coincidence. And that was in 92. So when we just did another movie that's going to be coming out in the next few, the premiere is next month. June.
Well, a lot of people hold up Mask of the Phantasm as the best Batman movie of any of the ones that have come out, including the live action ones.
I love that one, but I really loved Sub-Zero too, because of the animation in Sub-Zero. I don't know if you remember the opening sequence of you're under the ice looking up through the ice, and the polar bears are running over the ice, and it's the most beautiful animation. It's such an incredible image that you could really only get through animation. You know, there's some things you only really do with animation, with art.
I've tried to do that shot before. Cold weeks.
I was a polar bear.
Yeah. All that underwater.
We do these weekend projects.
So, having done the voice for so long, is there a point where you get to have input into what's going on? Like, well, no, Batman wouldn't say that.
No, I really do. I really do.
Because
I've worked with, well, Bruce Timm has been doing it since the beginning. Paul Dini's no longer involved, but Bruce has been involved since the beginning. And I mean, I have to be honest, and he would admit this too. They do occasionally. They'll go, we're stuck. What would he say? What would he say? Well, he wouldn't say that. That's totally geeky, you know. So yeah, I do get to have little bits of it, which is fun.
And what's the idea?
But the real force behind the show, I should say, has been a woman named Andrea Romano. I don't know how many of you are that into it.
Yes.
She's the director of, and she really is amazing. She's been with it from the beginning. She's not paid anywhere near what she deserves. And she's the one who really gets the performances out of people. Because when Batman started in 92, it was before the big renaissance of animation in Hollywood. And it was the show that really brought that. I had friends working at Disney who said, you know, fuck you.
We're animating chipmunks.
You totally raised the bar. You're making us look like assholes. It raised the bar in the whole town. So, well, and Andrea was part of that. She was part of bringing all these actors in who had never done animation before, and they didn't want people going, you know, gosh, my God, geeky kind of strange voices. They wanted real dramatic readings.
And some of those episodes, though, I mean, I watched them after school. When I was growing up.
Oh, like, how young were you?
It's an alien babe. My knapsack on
you
my back.
You were raised on the
knapsack, yeah.
Yep, whirling beanie.
He was a kid in the 1920s.
Yeah. Which is a dream of yours. Like the POV one, the laughing fish, those episodes still, I cannot imagine them so clearly because they were just
Pretends to Dream?
Yeah. Killer.
What goes into making the voice? I mean, I have to imagine it's more than just lowering the register and talking like this.
Well, it's interesting. That was not good.
All day, I was in my room, recording myself.
He has a cape and cowl he wears.
Really?
Well, what does go into making the voice?
It's interesting because the first couple of years, I just used to just kind of just do it just by just crunching down on my vocal cords, and I lost my voice at one point. And they freaked out. They were like, oh my God, we're, you know,
you're Batman.
25 episodes into this thing, you know, we can't replace you now. So I had to go back to some of my vocal training and figure out a way to produce the same sound but with supporting it. So there is a certain amount of technique that does go into it, I have to admit. Just kind of winging it, you can't do it because you'll screw up your voice.
Too so gritty.
You can't do it over time. Yeah.
How many pebbles do you have to eat? You must have a gizzard.
I chew on puppies.
We're recording this. That's
Let's just talk a little bit about the new thing that's coming out, Batman Gotham Knight. So that's a bridge between Batman Begins and Dark Knight, correct?
It's the early, it's all the Dark Knight stuff. It's very dark. It's the early Genesis. But what's interesting is it's lots of different versions of Batman from different artists that are brought together in the same thing. So there's the Frank Welker, and they're, you know, it's very artistically very, very rich. There are lots of different takes on Batman in the movie.
Was that hard for you to do different kind of?
Well, what's fun is Andrea knows to challenge me because she knows I have this theater background. She knows I love to do that stuff. So rather than doing all one voice and all one, which a lot of actors want to do, I like to actually jump back and forth between the voices. And that's why I mentioned Perchance to Dream before. It's one of my favorite episodes because I did young Bruce Wayne, old Bruce Wayne, Bruce Wayne Sr., the father, Batman, and Batman when he's drugged. And each of the five characters had to be distinctly different, but consistent. And I did it in real time.
Wow.
Which only the people involved in making it know that.
Yeah.
But it was a blast to do it in real time, to sort of jump back and forth between the different voices.
I still don't think you can read books and dream because of that episode. Is that, is that made up? Or I feel like when I'm dreaming, I'm like, read a book. See if it's true.
How's that working out for you?
Long nights. Long sleepless
nights.
And that is premiering at Wizard World Chicago, right? In June?
Yeah, on June 28th.
Cool. And do you get to go to that?
I get to go.
I don't know.
So, of course, we'll pay me for it.
We're not. Cool. Well, let's move on with our first section, which we like to call the stack. Woo! First thing we're going to talk about, coincidentally.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's all we have to say, too.
This is written by Paul Dini, coincidentally. What do you guys...
Awkward.
What do you guys think about this? Counting down, 52 or 51 issues, I don't even remember.
Pete, you deserve the lead.
Yeah, please.
Yep. Like, yeah, I told you it was going to suck from the beginning.
Well, the thing is, we had Jimmy Payne.
We won this round, but we're still winning the war.
Yeah.
Touche.
We had Jimmy Palmiotti on the show, and he was like, this was back when the countdown was in like the 20s or something. He was like, don't worry, it's going to be awesome at the end. And that was such bullshit.
I can't wait to see him again.
Yeah. Because it's bad. It counts down. It's so anticlimactic, and nothing changes for any of the characters throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, you think people are going to die, but then by the last one, they're like, no, we're back. Just back to normal.
It's like they tried to make the story bad.
It's the last issue here. There's several pieces of dialogue where they're actually calling out how bad it is. That they're like, wow, that was a really long time. Can we just get this over with already? There's characters who literally say, can we just get this over with? It's insane.
Do you think the characters are like saying that to the writers?
I think so. You don't know how fiction works.
Yeah. No, when they write, when they draw these people who are live acting these stories.
Yeah. So what do you think went wrong?
I think...
Yeah.
Well, he was the head writer, and it was like a group thing, which I think is what is the problem with it. It's very... The whole series has been unfocused. And it's trying to tell so many stories, but they're too inside, I think. I think for the reader, it's like, I don't know or care about these things.
At this point, I just feel like the only thing it accomplished was, hey, we came out with a book every week.
It's not well. It's not a great, it's not a great goal.
They did more than you did. So. Let's move on to talk about Mighty Avengers number 12.
Yes.
This is following the Secret Invasion storyline. What do you guys think about this?
Great.
Finally, a little bit of what Nick's been up to, and it's fantastic.
Yeah. Cool. Basically, if you haven't been following it, Skrulls are taking over the Marvel Universe. Skrulls being shape-changing aliens, if you're really not following it. And,
Marvel Universe being a comic that we read about in these comic books.
You guys didn't want to come to this show. This is Rewinding the Clock, which Bendis is promising to do over the course of the next couple of issues of Mighty Avengers and New Avengers, showing us how we get up to Secret Invasion number one. This is focusing on Nick Fury, and the interesting thing I thought about this is the first time we're seeing Nick Fury in the Marvel Universe in, what, 5 years, 6 years, something like that?
Yeah, maybe.
And it's sort of just like, oh, here's Nick. He's there.
He's been around. He's been busy. He's been setting up all this stuff.
Yeah.
The big reveal is the last two pages. He's standing in front of a big wall with a bunch
spoiler.
Of characters on it, and some of them are circled in different colored inks, which means he has two different pens.
Mind blowing.
That's all I know. That's all I know.
Huh.
Or one of those pens that you can click twice.
Yeah, he just hasn't gotten to the green yet or the black.
Yeah. Something to think about.
Yeah, well, that's the key to Secret Invasion.
But I think I like the way this story's unfolding. It's very reminiscent of Battlestar Galactica, which is kind of frustrating. But I think it's going to be good.
Well, I mean, on that token, it's also reminiscent of, like, Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yes. It's all bullshit.
Definitely pick this up, right?
Yeah, this is it. Yeah.
All right, let's move on and talk about Batman.
Yeah!
Do you ever read any Batman comics at all?
would you mind maybe reading a couple lines? As Batman, that would be pretty cool.
I don't know.
Talk about on the spot.
Where is it?
I can do it.
Yeah, you play a great punk green Batman.
Batman, what are you talking about? Yeah.
What? Sling Blade. That's it. Very different character. Similar story.
Some people call it Boomerang. I call it a Batarang.
Possible team up.
This is sort of the prelude to the Batman RIP storyline, which is probably not actually going to kill off Batman.
What?
Surprise.
What?
What did you think about this issue, though?
It was solid. I mean, Grant's pretty crazy, but this one, it's not as Grant crazy as the other ones, I think.
Well, I feel like, I wonder what goes on in Grant's mind. Because he tells stories where a lot of crazy stuff happens, but this one is such a departure from all the other ones. And I feel like either he's got it all figured out, or he's like, eh, no one knows what I'm doing. Just do this. Just this part with Bruce Wayne now.
Basically, Bruce Wayne has been seeing this girl for most of Grant Morrison's run. She finally is confronting him, saying, you're distant, you're holding something back, you have some sort of a dark side. She's like very perceptive. At the end of the issue, after Bruce Wayne has beaten up this guy, he's standing there with his shirt torn open, the bat signal in the background with thunder crashing. She's like,
wait a second.
But she does this thing, which I loved, which for those of you who read Scott Pilgrim, Volume 1, there's this thing where Scott Pilgrim is like, hey, I'm looking for a girl who has hair like this. And he does a thing because one of the characters, she has like hair hanging down. And so the character goes up to Batman and is like, wait a second.
She has to do that to be like, wait, oh no, I see it.
Well, yeah, but then it's a shadow in the background.
Yeah, it was cute.
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was weird when you guys just did it.
I didn't think it was it's a cute moment. I just thought it was kind of like...
Yeah, there's a beaten, bloody man in the background. I don't know what turns you on. I mean, I do know, so let's not talk about it.
Right.
Okay, that's weird.
The entire audience was like, shh. Sweet. This issue is great. Definitely pick it up.
Yeah, and this new arc's Batman RIP. They say he's not going to die, but he's going to rest in peace. If you can figure out the rest of that RIP arc, let us know.
I don't know what that meant. All right, let's move on.
Rest in pizza.
Let's move on. Let's move on. Talk about X-Force number 3 now, Pete. This made you very angry.
Yes.
See, what happened was I was all excited because they made a bloodier version. So I was like, sweet.
The cover.
Yeah. Well, no. They sent them that they said this is the bloody version. So I figured, hey, there's going to be a lot of action in this comic.
They made
all talking, not one fight. Bunch of liars.
Well, I think they're setting up a fight, and you're a sucker for buying a bloodier cover.
No, they didn't say it wasn't like
it was just called. It was called the bloody variant, so the variant referring to the cover.
Did you buy it on the back of a truck or at the comic store?
Was it just a guy who was bleeding? Who was like, bloody variant.
Damn. I hate it when you pointed so well.
This series, despite what Pete might say, is great, and I'm completely surprised that I like it because it's about a bunch of... They basically took all the dog X-Men and put them on a team together.
And say one guy had
You're going to call Wolverine a dog? Come on.
Wolverine is very close.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the dog is kind of undercutting him a little bit. He's more of a dog.
We're not making fun of your boy. We're all cool here. All right.
This issue is great. It builds on lots of X-Men history, but in a very accessible way. And I think it's the greatest assemblage of X-Men villains ever.
Ooh,
I just feel that it's been a bunch. We still haven't got all the You've got a kick-ass team together, and no, so far we haven't seen much fighting at all. So that's part of the
next issue. There's going to be blood
everywhere. You said that on the last issue. You said next issue. You said next.
What do you need to see right now? Like, it'll happen. Wait for
it's
it.
Just been building up.
Watch like Faces of Death or something. Go rent it. It's bootleg. It's horrible.
Yeah, it's horrible.
What?
All right, we're going to move on and talk about Supernatural Rising Sun at number one. Spinning off of the hit CW series.
I just made us pick that comic because I wanted to hear you say based on the hit CW series.
But you liked it. Right?
No, no, it was actually, I thought it was A, funny, and B, well done. I thought it would suck. I was like, okay, well, I'll buy this. Maybe we'll be able to make fun of it. But it's actually done pretty well. And there was a funny line in there where the dad is talking to his kids. He was like, son, let this be a lesson to you. If you come across a town of hot ladies, it's either your lucky day or they're, what do you say, like werewolf whores or something like that.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, something like that.
It's a great life lesson.
Yeah. I was like, man, I wish I had a dad like that.
He's earlier talking to his sons, he just got bitten by like some sort of walking wolf.
Some werewolf whore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and he's bleeding all down his arm, and his sons are like, dad, what's wrong? He's like, I burnt my hand on the engine block. I was like, those kids are dumb. Bleeding. And later on, so the whole story is about they go into this town and there's all these women who are like, stay here, I want to sleep with you. And the dad's like, I don't know what to do.
Oh, I'm sorry, hell whores. They're called hell whores.
They're succubi. And throughout the whole story, all the men live in the town. I find little secret ways of slipping him notes and say, leave. Like one guy on the frosty beer mug is like, go away.
Yeah.
And the one guy leaves him a note on his fast food that says, leave. That's great camaraderie.
Bros before hoes.
I think they're trying to keep all the hoes for the bros.
Anyway, this is fine.
Wow.
Let's move on and talk about the last issue of Death of the New Gods. Once again, Superman is crying on a cover, so you know it has to be good.
God.
No? Yeah. Clearly not. That was for me.
This is just really bad. I have no shot. I have no shot. If Superman's confused, I have no way of knowing.
That is pretty much the entire issue. Superman's like, wait, what's going on? Everybody's stronger than me. What's going on? I'm not usually in this situation.
Even so far as to be like, I've been passing out a lot in the last 5 minutes. I don't know what's going on. And then he explains what's going on ad nauseum. Even recapping the last issue.
And then the end of the issue doesn't even end. It's basically the entire series,
Death of the New Gods, is about the death of the new gods.
The last two new gods are there, which is Orion and Darkseid. And what Kirby built up is that eventually Orion would kill Darkseid. It gets to that point where Orion's ghost, for some reason, is farting Darkseid. Darkseid's like, you know what, let's do this somewhere else. Which was Countdown number 2, which came out last week. And so they don't even end the series at all. I mean, I know that's complaining because I thought this was the stupidest thing ever.
Yeah.
And being like, oh, then it wasn't good.
Well, no one has been buying this, so they had to move the end, the big end, to the more important book. But, real bummer. And plus, like, the villain of this series was a ghost. It was part of a wall. It was then mixed with an equation. I don't see. What are they doing?
The equation I thought was cool, but I was not cool with the wall. All right, let's move on and talk about Hulk number 3. Finally, the Red Hulk is battling the Blue Abomination. So that's pretty exciting.
A lot of colors.
Yeah, okay, so in case you haven't been keeping up, there's a new Hulk. The Hulk is red. The regular Green Hulk is underground. There's also a new Abomination.
Who's blue?
Who's blue, who's Red Jones.
A-Bob.
Who goes by A-Bob. And he's like, please don't hurt A-Bob.
And he's like, don't mess with A-Bob. I was like, really?
Here's the thing about this comic book, if you guys are going to laugh at me. It makes me feel stupider while I'm reading it. And I'm possible? Starting to love it. It's a little upsetting.
Yeah,
welcome to my world.
Yeah. You're 3 Hulk comics away from being peaked. So be careful. You're gilding the lily, sir.
What do you think about this?
I wasn't very
You loved it! See? Watch out!
I didn't like it very much.
What?
Yeah.
But the dude was punching the other dude.
No, I just didn't like the fact that he was calling himself A-Bomb, and then it was like, Red Hulk stops at a security gate to get his eye scanned. I was like, what the...
Yeah, this is just...
It was a lot of weird kind of random like stuff.
Giant harpy robots and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
They're exactly. Great.
And, the art's really good, but, like, he's got, like, the Hulk's shooting a giant gun. Is that necessary? The whole thing is, he's very strong. It's like having him, like, sit in a room and, like, call people to kill them. What's what other people can do?
Mr. Fix.
Yeah.
All right, that was great.
Okay, anyway, this is
Helen.
Hey, we got to get to the next book.
Let's talk about Helen Killer. Number one. Now.
Wait a second.
To be fair, it's not what you think it is. It's about Helen Keller, and she's a. Oh, it's Zoom.
Yeah. I'm glad you worked that out.
If you want to get into comics, Kevin, start there. That's your gateway drug right there.
Well, here's the thing. There's a number
What's the thing?
They completely lost track of Helen Keller, right? And during that time, she became a secret government agent.
Wait, who lost track of Helen Keller?
This is autobiography. And she has these special glasses, right?
Yeah.
Invented by Alexander Graham Bell.
That let her see... and hear and see people's souls. And also make her stronger and learn kung fu.
Yep.
And they were invented by Alexander Graham Bell.
As already mentioned.
Yeah, this book's crazy.
I was like, I just kept reading it like, what?
Why would you pick Helen Keller?
I know.
To be the one that...
He describes it on the back, actually. He says he was watching Jeopardy and there was a question where the answer was Helen Keller, and that's how he came up with the idea for the book. I don't know. But
that's why you shouldn't smoke weed and watch TV.
Well, he does in the back of the book try to say, like, listen, I know this seems crazy, but there were a couple, like, her name was Phantom. She called herself Phantom when she was from the ages of 8 to 18. She called herself Phantom, so we don't know what happened. And this is his way of filling in that gap.
So, for a true slice of history, pick up.
I want to hear, like, Mahatma Gandhi. Mother Teresa. Let's get all of our saintly people.
Nothing safe.
Yeah.
Those are good. All right. Let's move on. Talk about the second issue of Wolverine First Class. As these guys can attest, this book had me giggling like a schoolgirl.
Yeah, it did. Which was creepy.
What was the wig you were wearing?
And the dress.
The knee socks.
You guys brought me the lollipop.
You asked us to. This book is fantastic, though. It's an all-ages book, but that shouldn't keep you away from it.
Yeah. It's funny. It's what was upsetting about the first one is I felt like they really treated Wolverine like a monster and didn't really give him a voice or anything, and then people were scared of him, and it was like, well, that's not really Wolverine. But this one, they do a good job of really kind of giving him a voice and making it a little bit more to the Wolverine we know and love.
It's also very funny.
And Kitty Pryde, who you love.
Yeah.
But this is great. It's like X-Men stories without worrying about all the continuity and just like telling the stories.
Yeah. And it's they had to do a thing in New York with the Ninja restaurant that's here, which is very exciting. So it's set in the real world. All right, that's it for the staff. It is time for our next section, which is my favorite section because it's the section you guys make up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to bring out Booth Bang.
All right. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Star Booth.
Hi.
Hi, Booth Man.
He's classically trained, too.
Yeah. I do my own voice, but I'm not going to. I will.
Do your own voice?
Wow. My own cartoon that I do. I'll show you guys later. Here are some questions that the audience wrote for mainly you. I'm sorry, guys, but.
We just talked about
it. He's just a lot cooler. All right, so what was your least favorite and also most favorite Batman episode?
Ooh.
Right?
Most favorite was Perchance to Dream. Least favorite? Gosh, I don't know.
I
I've got Batman in my basement.
Huh?
I've got Batman in my basement.
Is that a threat?
That's the one where the kids, Batman gets hurt and the kids.
Oh yeah.
That wasn't
really
Batman.
Weird.
It was a little weird.
That was weird.
Yeah, it was weird.
Remember the one where the bad guys are playing poker? And then you later find out that Killer Croc is Batman in disguise? Man, that was good.
Let's get another question.
Why not? Okay, what do you think of celebrity voice actors like Tom Hanks? Do they help or hinder the animation industry?
Oh, my. It's called stunt casting. And it's interesting. It's become so prevalent now. Help, hinder, I don't know. I guess they help because it brings a lot more interest into it, you know? But you do get a lot of people in there who don't know how to do it. It's not as easy as it looks. I've been in recordings where I've been asked to stay afterwards and another actor has suddenly appeared and the whole episode's being re-recorded with a different person because of the stunt actor that we had couldn't do it. And they didn't want to embarrass the person, you know? So sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. It's not as easy as it looks because the trick is to, you can only use your voice to communicate the story, but you can't make it cartoony. You know, you can't overdo it, but you can't underdo it either. So there's a kind of a fine line you have to walk with voice work, with animation, and not everybody can do it.
What about Mark Hamill as the Joker?
Fantastic. What a talented actor. A really underrated actor. He's a much better actor than people realize. He really comes alive in the sound booth. It's amazing.
Was there other people like Mark Hamill that you really liked working with?
Well, you know, Tim Curry was the original Joker.
Ooh.
And he was phenomenal. But no better than Mark. I mean, they were just different.
Yeah.
But he was that kind of crazy, but scary, really scary. Scary, like parents would be afraid for their kids to be watching it, you know?
Yeah.
So they replaced him with Mark, who was able to do that sound, a more PG version, you know? It wasn't quite as frightening. Tim Curry was fantastic, but it was like another planet.
That's hilarious.
But there have been all kinds of good voices on the show. Who else? Everybody's.
Do you do any other voice work outside of Batman?
Oh yeah, I do a lot of. That's what I'm basically doing in New York now. I just hated living in LA so much, and there really isn't any other animation here. So I go there to do the stuff I have to do for them, and here I do commercial voice work. So I do a lot of commercial stuff.
What's one or two? What do we recognize?
Yeah.
What is remembered is up to you. I mean, Paco Rabanne. I do a lot of cologne.
Cool. I would buy cologne if I knew that Batman.
It's like anything that kind of what they call the romance sound. I get a lot of that stuff.
Speaking of romance, what is the well, my voice doesn't go that deep, okay? What is the filthiest thing you've ever said in your Batman voice?
In the Batman voice. Well, nothing's been ever. You can't do anything X-rated on the show.
Is that a more personal question? I think it was.
Yeah, that gets weird.
That's weird.
That's creepy.
I can tell you the weirdest thing I've ever.
Please.
In your Batman voice, say the filthiest thing you've ever.
Swing fight.
Are you saying that you do a phone to a stranger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just dial a bunch of numbers. Yeah. The picks up. I say, Eric.
I'm seeing your movie on Friday.
It worked.
Cool.
Now
yeah.
You're engaged, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
What are you
beautiful.
Cool.
What are you wearing?
I'm starting to sweat. I'm gonna go. That's it for your audience.
time for our next section, which is trivia. For that, we turn it over to Pete LePage.
Woo! Old timey. All right. So this is the part. This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. You can win $25 free to Midtown Comics. Who would like $25 free? Come on down, sir.
Nice. What do I do? What do I just stand here?
What's your name?
Michael Gaffney.
Michael Gaffney. Audience? Audience Michael Gaffney. All
right. Thank you. I wore it for the occasion.
Yeah, very appropriate.
Love the show.
So, today's trivia is going to be on Batman the Animated Series. Wow, it's weird how things work out.
Yes.
So, here we go. Question number one. So, that's going to work. So, I'm going to read you a question. You'll have three multiple choice answers. Listen to all three, then pick the correct one, and this gift card will be for you. All right, here we go. Batman the Animated Series is A, an Emmy Award-winning animated series. B, should be an Emmy Award-winning series, plus many other awards, for Christ's sakes. Or C, a, like, totally deep and provocative animated series. So it's either A, an Emmy Award-winning animated series, or it's B or C. A is correct! Okay,
question. Well, C sounded like a good answer, though.
All right, all right. Here we go. Question two. Red Claw and Harley Quinn are examples of villains who have only appeared in the animated series. Name one more. Is it A, Tigress, B, Lockup, or C, Shauna, My Psycho Ex-Girlfriend? So it's either A, Tigress, B, Lockup, and we both know it's not C.
It's A.
A is correct!
I actually remember seeing Lockup.
Yeah, Lockup was, but yeah, it was also in the comic too. So, wow. Trick question.
Credit.
Yeah, yeah. Here we go. Which one of these has Kevin not done the voiceover for? A, Batman Adventure, The Ride for a theme park. B, Dick Grayson's Father, season 4 of The Batman. Or C, Jumanji the Musical.
C.
C is correct! 3 for 3. Nice work out there.
Thank you.
All right.
If you're at all interested, Pete wrote a version of Jumanji the Musical that we think you would be great for.
Sing one of the songs.
Yeah, right after you come out of the box.
Yeah.
This board game is problematic.
It goes on.
Yeah, it goes on for real. This is the first time in the history of the show that we have done trivia early. So we actually have some extra time for your guys' questions. So for that, we're going to bring out Booth Mad.
Yay!
This is how we can tell the Booth Mad. So yeah, just raise your hands. Booth Mad, come over. Hold his hand.
Yeah, just touch that.
Just touch
that. Thank
you. You, sir, what is your question?
I actually had one. I wrote it on the card, but it had a little more detail. In the, I was happy for you. In the early episodes of the series, I always felt that you kind of floated between a sort of Clint Eastwood growl and this really floaty aesthetic voice when you were doing Batman. Were these the kind of influences you used, or what was it?
Well, the voice was my idea. The sound. And it wasn't a Clint Eastwood sound I was going for. It was just a very dark, you know, that sort of husky, mysterious place I was going in my voice.
More questions that trick him into talking.
Pete, hold on. Go ahead.
Do you say what supervillains are?
I'm sorry?
Do you say what villains are?
Do I say
Can you say what villains are?
Can I say what villains are?
A superstitious
coward.
We don't know.
Superstitious and cowardly lot.
He wants you to say an old Batman line.
Oh, is that a line I said?
I was just kidding.
Super villains are
super villains are superstitious and cowardly lot.
There you go.
And I don't mean to pimp you out, Kevin. It's Selena.
Hi.
Hello. Nice. Kevin's your cousin. Hooray.
That's my cousin.
Well done.
I would love to hear. Kevin has an amazing, amazing story about after September 11th when he volunteered downtown. And I would love for you to share the story. I don't mean to pimp you out. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Totally pimped out.
Yeah. We made this horribly awkward.
No, it's a funny story. The language is a little salty. Everybody after the the event was trying to pitch in, and I called the volunteer number. And I said, you know, what can I do? And I said, well, we have all the tunnelers, we have all the diggers, we don't need any emergency work. So what we really need now are people to feed all the volunteers. Do you have any restaurant experience? And I said, well, I'm an actor. Of course I have restaurant experience. I said, what do you need? And they said, well, we really need cooks. I said, I was a short order cook at one point when I was at Juilliard. They said, well, can you come down right now for the night shift? I said, I can be there in half an hour. So I went to a place called Nino's, which was a restaurant that they had commandeered downtown. It was just a couple of blocks from Ground Zero. And it was this really, it was very depressing that week, as you can imagine. And downtown was all still very smoky and musty and dusty. And there were these big, like, white Klieg lights all over the place, illuminating everything for the workers to work in. And there was still a lot of smoke. And these people would come into this restaurant streaming in, just covered with soot and dust and smoke. And we were producing amazing amounts of food out of this kitchen. And it was the truckloads of food were coming down from the restaurants around town. And there were all these volunteers working in this kitchen, and I was doing the night shift. And they were long, like 12-hour shifts. And it was very sweaty and hot. And it was a very depressing week. And you couldn't hear a lot coming out of this huge dining hall except sort of murmurs. So about four or five nights into this, at this point, I am just dead tired. Everybody was dead tired. This guy next to me says, my day job is I'm an architect. He says, what's your day job? I said, I'm an actor. He said, yeah, but what kind? You do some special kind of acting. What kind of acting do you? I said, well, I really do voice work. I work in animation. He said, I knew it! He said, I knew your name. You're Kevin Conroy. You're Batman. This is Ground Zero, right? I said, how did you know that? He said, everybody knows who's Batman. I said, no, believe me, everybody doesn't know. He said, this is so cool. He said, can I tell them who's been cooking their dinner? I'm thinking this is a little frivolous, right?
Yeah.
You know, for what we're dealing with, you know. He says, no, this is so cool. So he goes out in the dining room and he goes, guys, and it gets really quiet. He goes, you're not gonna believe who's been cooking your dinners. It's Batman! And there's this long pause and you hear, bullshit! And then someone else says, make him prove it! So I'm back in the kitchen, I think, oh, this is great. So I'm in the kitchen, I go, I am vengeance. I am tonight. I am Batman! And there's this long pause here. Holy fuck! And they all start clapping like that. They come running back in the kitchen. There's a steady stream of people. And they're like, oh, you know that episode when you got the Joker and my kid and I went, blah, 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 blah. And the laughing started up. And so the guy, the architect who had recognized me, he says, how does it feel to be Santa Claus? And it's true, it was like being Santa Claus.
Awesome.
So
that is a great story.
Isn't that
a
funny story? Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
and say, Alfred! It's what we were joking earlier, did you know, get to say stuff. Yeah, but after that story, it really doesn't seem appropriate.
Any more questions for you back there?
So, you said that because you hadn't done animation stuff, you kind of stumbled into this. What do you think about, keeps you coming back all this time? I mean, is it just paycheck? I mean, why do you stay with this character and with this format of acting? What do you think of it, looking back on it now?
You know, that's a really interesting question. It's really been an education to me, because it was a whole other world to me. And it's a really interesting art form. I have this deal with Warner Brothers, because they're ruthlessly cheap. And they wanted me to, I told Sonia this earlier, they wanted me to do publicity appearances for the show when it first came on, to go to like Comic Cons and stuff. And it's kind of part of your deal when you sign a contract that you give them one or two of those, that you kind of got to do it. And I'm happy to do it because I like interacting with the audience, like this kind of thing. I just enjoy doing it. They started taking advantage of the fact that I like doing it. And they started asking me to do that more frequently, knowing that I would just do it. And I was really comfortable with it, and I enjoyed it. And the audiences enjoyed me. So I realized that they were kind of taking advantage of me after a while. And I said, you should really be compensating me for this. After, I'd done like half a dozen of these things. And they said, oh, no, Warner Bros. Doesn't do that. And I said, well, why don't you give me a cell? It doesn't cost you anything. And they said, well, those are very, very valuable. I said, yeah, but you got them sitting in vaults. So they said, okay.
Oh, wow.
So then I said, well, how about two cells? So I started getting two cells per appearance. So I have an incredible collection of cells.
Oh,
and they got
wow.
to the point where they let me go into the vault and sort of look around.
Oh, man.
Can you imagine? This is like a kid in a candy store.
So
and this is for someone who didn't appreciate this at all. Huh. I mean, for you guys, it's like crap, right?
Yeah.
We're going crazy over here.
Yeah.
Pete would get chocolate all over those.
So you
I
have
started,
them hanging in.
Yeah, I have a wonderful. And it was a good deal for them because they didn't have to pay.
Yeah.
Good deal for me because I got these results. But I have like signed Hanna-Barbera and really incredible. Tweety and all kinds of different.
Oh
I got past the Batman stuff. They started me.
Wow.
But it was sort of gotten me exposed to the art form. The reason I tell you the story, I started getting into the art form of it and how beautiful it is. And some of these cells are gorgeous. It's a really interesting world. It's a very interesting world, the animation world. It's become, Batman is the largest single franchise in Hollywood. Do you realize that?
Yeah.
The character? Is the biggest franchise character in Hollywood. And I am the voice.
How cool is that?
Yeah. You are cool.
Yeah. All right, that's all the time we have for your questions, unfortunately.
That was extra.
But a couple of little plugs before we go. Next week we have Matt Liu on the show, who's the creator of a book called Side Scrollers. That's awesome. You should definitely pick it up. Also, the Timoney brothers, who are creators of Night Owls from Zuda Comics, which is a really fun series. So check that out. Also, you can check us out 3 times a week or more on pulpsecret.com. We've got all of our New York Comic Con footage up on there, so definitely check that out. There's a couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank Kevin for being our guest. New comics tomorrow. Check them out.
Nice.
The booth back. Also, that's John Cherry. Good job. Most of all, thank you, guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Mr. Conroy. Can I give you these? I just printed them out because I thought you might like them.
Thank you so much.
These are sort of my own work.